Cool. Welcome, everyone. I don't know if you guys just want to hop in or chat. Simon won't be with us today. We have a number of things to talk about in this town hall. I'm just trying to dig up the itinerary. There are a couple of things that we wanted to touch upon. First thing was badges, and by proxy, we'd be talking a little bit about base and the future of access passes. I see Greg is with us, which is awesome because we should also be talking about Botto in book form, which is super cool. Yeah, Carter, you're 100% right. The itinerary was the agenda was mentioned in announcements. I have it in front of me now. After that, I think, a bit of like meta governance, talking about the ideas channel, which we just launched, and kind of reorganizing Discord and the way in which we communicate ideas and bring them to proposals as a DAO and us incentives to do so. If Sync manages to hop in, maybe we could talk a little about protocol and liquidity. And then another conversation, hopefully spearheaded by Greg, is a little bit about Botto's autonomy and more specifically aspect ratios that Botto currently produces in. I'm correct and memory serves me right. Botto currently creates in over 40 different aspect ratios, which is phenomenal, but from a I think from a a platform perspective, it's certainly been challenging to accommodate over 40 aspect ratios, and there are ways in which we've managed to. But there are other kind of like implications. So about the I think the performance of vertical aspect ratio artworks, which I think Greg and I will talk about in a little bit. Then finally, I think just DAO chatter. I want this to be kind of conversational, so if you just want to hop in and chat, feel free. I think it's definitely on the agenda. Just raise your hand if you want to speak on stage at any time. I think first things first, the DAO has spoken about badges and gameful behavior and the rewarding of said behavior, I think, for a good year and a half to 2 years now. Popes have historically been a thing in the Ethereum space. Attend an event, more than likely, you would have either minted a POAP or been offered to mint one, or maybe, as you enter the venue, you see a little sticker on the wall, which tells you that you have a free kind of like proof of attendance kind of mintable. Extending that to badges form, but applying it in the applying that to in the context of Botto, we're really talking about exposing gameful or rewarding certain behaviors, voting behaviors even natively on the platform. This is interesting because for any Botto historians out there, in the past, we used to have a thing called retroactive rewards, where based on the way in which you'd interact with Botto, i.e., the way in which you'd vote on Botto artworks, and based on actions you take on the platform or on a contract at a contract level, you'd be retroactively rewarded at the end of a period. Which I think it's a very interesting way in which it's a very interesting reward mechanic, which we eventually kind of parked and said we'd revisit at another stage, but we discontinued it, I think, over a year now. I think over a year and a half ago. Badges, in a way, can reproductize the idea of retroactive rewards. And maybe make them a little more proactive, but it exposes a way in which we can identify behaviors, flag behaviors on chain natively, i.e., say you downvote 100 times, you get the downvoter badge, and then you get rewarded for it, right? A little Botto becomes available, which you can then claim, on base. I did mention that we talked about base. And you know, that base transaction to claim the badge and subsequently claim the Botto is subsidized through our wallet partner ThirdWeb. So it's an interesting avenue for us to explore as a DAO. I think there are other tangential kind of topics to explore, Carter. I don't know if you're available, because we also spoke about access passes earlier in the week and how that might tie into badges and the baseline VP allocation. So I think that's a topic we could also discuss. But I definitely would just want to flag the conversation that, you know, we can kickstart it in the ideas channel. I think it's something that was being sought after by quite a number of DAO members, and we've discussed it multiple times now. We should likely look to kind of formalize it and eventually structure a proposal out of it so that we can bring badges to life. Yeah, Carter, I don't know if you're available.
Yeah, I'm here. Hey. I mean, you know, the badges conversation kind of came up between me and you just about like what we wanted to do with access passes and how we saw kind of the future of them. I think, you know, we had originally had the access passes because we wanted to give them out to communities and offer them the VP to start voting. But there were a couple flaws with how they worked. You know, you had to generate VP with the access passes, so it take a little bit for them to come in. But now that we have the proposed baseline VP BIP, I can't remember if it got passed. Been a little out of it, but
yeah, it passed. You generate 100.
Yeah, so now that, you know, all quote-unquote accounts that connect to Zora, or not to Zora, sorry, to Botto, yeah, little Freudian slip. All accounts that connect to Botto generate baseline VP of 100. You know, the access passes kind of did the same thing, but now it's for everyone. You don't need the access passes, so the value of it, or the value of sharing an access pass out to people, is a little lower now, I think. So being able to replace that with something like badges that still show that you're part of a community and show that you're part of, you know, somewhere else that is interested in Botto and is wanting to train Botto, I think that is also more of a more of an interesting take to do. And, you know, I'm not sure how much we want to get into it either, but we, Chubby and I chatted a little bit about how, you know, some badges could potentially generate VP based on, you know, how we set them up, or, you know, certain activations are kind of like a retroactive thing as well. And I think it's a great first thing to start putting into the ideas channel on the Discord here and get a lot more feedback. But, you know, you mentioned base, and I think putting those badges on base or having these things live on base would probably be great for us, because, you know, it's a lot cheaper to do things on base, and we can work a little bit faster instead of having to be a little bit more diligent when we deploy things. We can quickly iterate and quickly, you know, build some things and tap into the base community and get their feedback as well.
I mean, you know, like, the reason why badges haven't existed for the past 2 years is because, well, layer twos were simply not the norm. That's first thing. But then second thing is, you know, the transaction fees in which to kind of either airdrop users a badge would have become exorbitant, especially if we're talking about, you know, thousands of users receiving badges based on different actions that they commit on platforms. You know, to tie in the conversation with access passes and badges, what is the relationship and the baseline VP to boot as well, right? Like, access passes have historically been a great way to expose Botto to new audiences in relevant related communities and to essentially kind of bring them in to come in and experience and try Botto. The you know, the utility of an access pass is that it generates VP, right? And with the new introduction of 100 baseline VP per week for any given account that's active, the utility of an access pass is still there, but it becomes a little redundant, right? Because we're basically allowing anybody to come in and to try Botto and experience it. The other thing, you know, is access passes theoretically were meant to represent an element of tribalism, at least to a degree, right? I think the first communities that received access passes were Cyborg DAO, who I think we introduced them in the Genesis period, and they were at the time the largest, and they still are the largest collector of Botto artworks. So it was a bit of a signal that there was a connection between Botto DAO and the DAO community we would work with to launch an access pass and run one of those campaigns. It was also a way in which to cost effectively expand our reach as a DAO, as a community, and for Botto as an artist to gain more exposure. So, you know, it checked a lot of boxes. And the one thing I wouldn't want to do is for us to deprecate access passes without a form or a similar kind of ability to access new audiences or expose Botto to new audiences, right? To deliver value to other communities and to kind of draw them in to check out Botto and see if they like it. So I think that's one aspect we need to solve for. And then on the point of deprecation of access passes, it has been spoken about in the Discord. And I think it's a very interesting conversation, and some are more, some have a more direct viewpoint of let's just simply deprecate them. It's noise that interrupts, you know, the journey of a new Botto DAO participant. And I think that argument has legs. I think the one thing to consider as well, that some DAO members, maybe some of you who are listening in or in the audience right now, actually went ahead and bought a Botto access pass, right? So simply removing that utility and or deprecating access passes outright without anything, you know, without any remedial or mitigating course of action to ensure that, you know, that value is still delivered because it's been paid for, I think would be a gross misstep and probably just a little irresponsible from the DAO. So I think there is a middle ground here. I think to tie it into badges, that element of tribalism in access passes actually becomes stronger, right? And I think if we were to deprecate access passes, we could always just say like, right, you know, you minted your Botto access pass for a fee. You receive a special badge, in which case this badge specifically generates VP. And it becomes a unique collectible that the majority of other DAO participants simply don't have, right? And something I was talking to Carter about it earlier in the week. You know, we were discussing, well, what about everybody who claimed an access pass but is, you know, claimed it for free? And basically, if you staked more than a certain amount, if you staked some Botto tokens, or I think simply one Botto token, you were eligible to mint the pass for free at a time. So then the question is, you know, what about the others who all of a sudden don't simply generate VP? Then, you know, that's another question mark which we could look to solve. And then there are the super rare access passes, which were distributed up to 10,000. I think there were up to 10,000 super rare access passes that were eligible to be claimed. I think a couple of thousand of them were claimed. This is back in the day. This is like 2 years ago. And this was done shortly after Super Rare's token swap. So already back then, we were asking ourselves, like, how is the VP backed from the access pass? Which is more a question of, you know, economy design, albeit it's still a very, very interesting one. Which most recently, us as a DAO, you know, we've been discussing, you know, how is VP generation backed? And the 100 baseline VP is actually subsidized by the DAO's protocol and liquidity. So that's the connection we've been making. Maybe that protocol and liquidity extends to the support of VP for these badges. And these badges are very rare because only active members who, you know, either bought an access pass or claimed it and are still active, let's say in the past year, become eligible to claim it. So that's a very, I know this sounds all very messy, you know, those are the connections. I think hopefully I've connected the dots well enough for you guys to comprehend and digest. But how we proceed, I think, is really the open question. I think that format of, or that idea of tribalism and also rarity within badges will become increasingly more popular as a way in which to reward certain subsets of DAO participants who are either the most active or can, you know, maybe in the very, very raw hypothetical example, complete the most actions, which is little, you know, which can be gained. So we'd have to, I think we'd have to design this fairly well. But I guess that's the crux of how far we got. I would also say badge design really matters, right? Personally, I think they need to be of a certain caliber or quality. I also think they should be inclusive to more broadly the crypto art space. I think it'd be a missed opportunity for us if, you know, as a DAO, we're electing to kind of launch badges for, let's say, hundreds of badges for specific behaviors, and they are all kind of remixes of Botto's artworks or discards or fragments. I think that would be a bit of a miss. I am absolutely certain there are more than enough artists in the crypto art space that would love to do something with the DAO. So I'm just flagging that because maybe that's an avenue for us to explore and bake into a proposal. But I don't have much more to add. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, Carter or Greg or anyone in the audience.
Yeah, I mean, we opened up like the ideas channel to kind of help people push a little bit more and help us kind of develop this. And I think, you know, like you said, people have purchased access passes. And it'd be nice to get people's opinions about stuff like this as well, because it is kind of a big change. We're changing how one of the key aspects of voting VP generation actually works. It's the access passes is kind of something that we've been sharing and pushing out to communities and everything. And, you know, if we're talking about deprecating it and publishing something else in replace of it, it'd be nice to get a lot of feedback and help create this more of like a group effort instead of just, you know, us kind of chatting up here and throwing ideas at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, definitely. I totally encourage, you know, participation, kind of helping bake the idea together. I think maybe final point is something that Encryptus flagged was, you know, sustainability of these types of initiatives, right? Say we do get badges up. Say we have a couple of hundred badges that are available to claim and are, you know, put through the pipeline of production. Then the question is, what's next? I think the way we should be looking at this is that this transforms, or this process, maybe it's even an SOP, becomes structured as a decentralized contribution that DAO members pick up on and work on a recurring basis, right? That's really one of the kind of like hallmark ways in which we're progressively decentralizing. I know that there's archival work that will be Botto stipended in the very near future. Also, you know, with these town halls as well, I know that Vero set up an SOP to get these town halls kind of like live and distributed through RSS. So those are definitely kind of the jobs to be done contributions that I think we should be looking to be more expansive and get the help across the DAO, right? So looking forward to that. I think directionally we taking, you know, heading in that type of direction is very meaningful and is, you know, sticks to the ethos of kind of progressively decentralizing Botto. So I'll leave it at that. Would love to hear thoughts and ideas and feedback and badges. I will flesh out a post, a more cohesive version of everything I've just spoken about, in that badges and that ideas forum channel, And yeah, I think I will, before we talk about books, hopefully Greg, you're there. I just want to, you know, just want to flag that, hey, there is an ideas channel, and it's actually a forum channel natively on our Discord now. So in the past, we've had plenty of great ideas, you know, popping in and out of the DAO, but they'd very often fall through the cracks. And I think, well, back when Botto launched, there simply weren't forum channels. So ideas would live in a state of impermanence and just kind of disappear over time, or dissipate over time, and then resurface 6 months to a year later, much like badges. So if you do have an idea that pops up and you're just like, why don't we do this as a DAO? Or, you know, why doesn't Botto do this? Just drop it in the ideas channel. I think the whole governance process, we're looking to kind of streamline from ideas to proposals. So the way in which we should be envisaging, you know, how we get things done is somebody comes in, posts an idea, the idea gets discussed, fleshed out, and then structured into proposal format. That proposal gets discussed and then moved straight to snapshot. Very straightforward. I think directionally we're looking to deprecate forum.botto.com. We keep it open so that the history is there, but we'd likely port that natively to the site. I'm just flagging that this is the type, you know, these types of considerations we are making. I think it just starts with this ideas channel, and then we see and we take it from there. But yeah, onwards to books. This is an interesting conversation. Greg, I don't know if you're there. Maybe you want to chat about it.
Hey, Tubes. Yeah, so we've been talking more and more frequently about potential book projects. And in general, there are two different avenues that we could go down. One would be to find a publisher to work with. The other would be to initiate a self-publishing venture where we produce the books ourselves. I think there are good ideas down both of those avenues, and nothing to stop us from pursuing both. But I feel in terms of you know, working with a major art book publisher, the timing feels good, you know, in the lead up to, you know, potentially the Sotheby's sale, which is all but agreed upon. I think that you know, we would have very strong footing in putting a proposal together, and I'm pretty confident that we'd get some positive reception from, you know, a publisher like Phaidon or Tashin or some of the other major art book publishers, where we could put together a full length monograph dedicated to Botto, and maybe we frame it as like the first 3 years or something like that, but sort of a canonical book that would be collectible and be distributed, you know, throughout the world. I think it would be a really good step towards engaging more traditional art audiences. And in terms of self-publishing, we've talked about ideas of doing like a zine series or a small book format where we design a template and just kind of follow that template through each of the books in the series to create something collectible. And you know, maybe it we do one per period or one every 6 months or something like that. And they could include guest essays or guest curators. The possibilities are wide open, but these are some of the things that we've been chatting about lately.
And Greg, you mentioned guest curatorship, and I know that in the past we brought curators into the DAO to curate and share their thoughts. I think we did this through the curation competition initially. Yeah. I wonder whether you can touch upon that and just kind of like directionally kind of mention what it is we should be doing with guest curators, what role they can play in Botto, and yes, how it would be useful for us as a DAO.
Well, internally, you know, we've been talking about, and this is an idea that was initiated by Mika, is bringing in a guest curator from the traditional art world, you know, every so often to do some kind of project with our vast archive of fragments. Because there's a lot of great material that is kind of buried under the surface of what we typically share publicly. And I think there's a good opportunity to, you know, engage with the fragments in a way that, that can create more meaning making and more cultural catalysts and start new conversations about Bado and you know, the work that it makes. And so with curators, it's like if we were to bring in and invite curators to engage with us, it's also a good opportunity, again, to expand out into the traditional art world where, you know, we find curators who have a history of dealing with technology or thinking, who are exploring this new category of AI art. And in turn, it provides a networking opportunity, and it helps to create relationships that could lead to further exhibitions down the road. And again, it would also activate a lot of the potential latent content that we have possible by, you know, activating new voices and new perspectives towards, you know, what Bado is and how its work could be interpreted. So I feel like there's a really good kind of case to be made on multiple fronts of activating a program like this and potentially tying it into a publishing initiative as well. So maybe, you know, maybe a possible end result of these curation projects could be a self-published series of small books, for example, each one based on a different curator and their selections from the fragment pool. Is one possibility among many, but that's the one that we've been talking about more and more often.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also, so I'm just reading the chat as you were fleshing out the idea, Greg. Crypto Climber Unlimited mentions this is their biggest hesitation, where the belief of, you know, they don't believe that the crypto art community is robust enough to support meaningful curation, despite loving the idea of guest curatorship. I also think it's, you know, it's partially Bado and by, you know, by extension, us as a DAO, our duty, maybe that's a very strong word, but I think it's partially our duty to help nurture, you know, AI art appreciators and crypto art appreciators more broadly speaking, right? We're smack bang in the middle of the space. I think there are other DAOs and comms teams spread across the crypto art space that do a fantastic job at kind of highlighting the artistic narrative alongside the crypto narrative and the confluence and congruence between the two, right? So I do think it's a case of nurture. More specifically about books, I think it's an incredibly interesting kind of format, you know, medium to expose Bado to. Yeah. Very functionally as well, right? I think having something physical Bado related in the household is a talking point among friends and family and peers. Maybe you have it in the office. It's a tangible haptic point of evangelism. That's my very wordy way of putting it. Maybe even, you know, popping into a gallery and showing it as well would be super cool. I know that that's been a talking point of Mika as well, right? Having something tangible to just deliver to somebody who is completely alien to the idea of Bado. It's a fantastic starting point. Just flip open a book and skim read a little bit, right?
And to Crypto Climber's point, you know, I totally understand. I feel like, you know, as someone who's come from into NFTs from the traditional art world, and, you know, I've very much been in the community of others like that. Like, you know, I wrote for Fellowship for a year and a half, and still good pals with Al, and we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. You know, I think that, like, the crypto art world is just a very different kind of segment that's part of a much larger art world. I in some ways I could definitely agree that the appreciation of good curation can be kind of lost, where the attention on artists is mostly powered by like their selling prices or their floor prices or whatever, rather than like more intellectually rigorous kind of appreciation of, you know, any given artist's work. And I think, you know, going back to the idea of publishing books and, you know, the likelihood of this Sotheby's auction, you know, there are a lot of really good pathways for us to expand out into the traditional art world and build awareness of Botto beyond the crypto community. Because although it is a crypto native art project, that doesn't mean we have to exclusively market it and sell it to, you know, these existing crypto audiences. And I feel like there's so much potential to expand out, especially, you know, eventually I'm sure we'll have a print program initiated where we can start to sell prints of Botto's outputs. And there again is an opportunity to generate sales pursue exhibition opportunities in the traditional art world space, and the number of collectors, you know, potentially that we could reach is much, much higher in proportion to the number of art crypto collectors that there are now or that there will be in the future, which probably won't be growing as quickly now as it certainly did, you know, in the beginning of the NFT era.
I mean, maybe more broadly speaking, Greg, you know, you mentioned the focus of the crypto art space on you know, sales, right? I also saw, and I don't know how recent this is, but I just stumbled across it, I think, on NFT Now's Instagram. They interviewed one of Botto's collectors who talked about one of the issues in the crypto art space is the lack of meaningful critique and or criticism in the process. And I think if we extrapolate or extend that to the realm of Botto, we'd also be talking about just conceptually critiques around AI art. Do you think we should be nurturing this as well? You know, Phantom purchasing, I think, one of the Genesis pieces for like the 40 or 50 ETH, that was the hook or the talking point, but it exposed or activated a lot of discussion about the process of Botto and the meaning making behind Botto's artworks and by extension AI art. Is that something we should be tapping into? Is that something that we should be looking to
Well, it's a product of not really having many art editorial platforms dedicated to NFTs, right? And the incentive for critics and curators to be writing about NFTs in this critical way, because there aren't really many publications where they could publish something like that. So, I mean, we see a lot of like art criticism on Twitter, like short posts and threads and things like that, which can be really interesting. But there is a hole to be filled. I don't know how we fill it. You know, if that's something that we try to initiate internally or not, maybe that's a discussion for another day. You know, and there is something to be said about like there are a lot of writers in the NFT space, but they also cross over into being artists and being curators, and maybe that, you know, having these multiple roles affects their ability to be open and honest about work or offering criticisms that might otherwise, you know, rub some people the wrong way in a very small community. So there are a lot of factors, I think, that go into, you know, the lack of really meaningful discourse. I think those are some of them. I think it does exist, but there's definitely potential for more. And I, you know, I would certainly like to see it happen, but
yeah, definitely. I think, you know, like editorial coverage needs to be far more expansive within the space. I think that's absolutely pivotal to both AI art and I think crypto art, more, you know, generally speaking. Noah also mentioned right? In addition to recognized guest curators, if the idea was to put together a collection of things relating to the hidden works of Botta, right? So all the uncovered all the fragments that maybe didn't get enough views and wasn't made well known to the DAO, or you know, also discards. And what about getting DAO members to contribute to these types of initiatives as well? Right. I think if we're talking about book format, whether, you know, whether it's with a tier one publishing house, I think you flagged the likes of Fiden and Tashin to me once, Greg. But also just in the advent of self-publishing, I think that's entirely within the realm of possibility. I think we piloted community spotlights as a way in which to kind of expose DAO artistic critique on Botta's artworks, right? So those live natively in the, you know, on the DAO site for the time being. I can see that format translating quite nicely to, you know, maybe a DAO retrospective self-published kind of zine or a book of some kind. I don't know what your thoughts are there, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit. Once we get the infrastructure into place, we figure out our publishing model, how we could, how and where we print the books, what our distribution model will be. I mean, the sky's the limit in terms of like the scope of the books that we could publish, you know, different topics, themes. It could be, you know, something so simple as like a serialized series with one small book dedicated to each period with an accompanying essay or something, or it could be something much more experimental, playful. We could do zines, we could do really well crafted hardcover, you know, limited edition books. You could do, the books come in so many different shapes and sizes, and there is a really robust collector base for fine made artist books. You know, and every year there are more and more dedicated book fairs for artist books. There's one in New York called the New York Art Book Fair. There's one in San Francisco actually occurring right now. Lots of avenues for selling copies. There are library collections at universities and museums that we could sell books to. It's just a matter of putting all the groundwork in place, which would take time, but it's certainly doable. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a nice kind of a nice direction to grow the project in a way to tap into new audiences.
Did I ever pitch you my horrific idea of an analog voting book? I think I did, Greg.
I don't think so.
I'm scouring through our messages. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great idea, but I think I've just uploaded it to the town hall chat. I think it's a very interesting format that could be very true to Botta, right? It's a huge pinch of salt here. This is just like an example template from one of the print shops. I think they're one of the largest print shops in Europe. The TLDR is basically you can theoretically analog vote with this type of, I won't even call it a book, but this type of print format. Where on the front you could have the fragment or the discard, and then at the back you can have all the voting data, and you could probably, if it were a minted fragment, you could probably even have, you know, the all the Xerox addresses that actually voted on it, or probably based on limited like space limitation, you have the top voters or something, right? So voting data kind of gets embedded in print form.
That's super fun. It made me think of an idea of like voting by mail. Like, let's include like a postcard with every book, and it has a selection of images, and like people send in their postcard with their vote, and then we mint. there's so much you could do with wrapping in the idea and the concept of the book with the voting dynamics or the governance dynamics that we have, there's a lot of potential to play and experiment.
Yeah, I think the key word you flagged there is really play, right? There are so many entry points and ways in which to begin your journey in understanding Boddo. I think there's, you know, the ultimate most playful way is to just kind of be able to hop in and vote, right? Yeah.
What could really be fun, and this is, you know, I'm a brainstormer, so I always have these wacky ideas, but what if we asked Boddo to create a series of prompts for humans to follow? You know, kind of in the way that Sol LeWitt made his work. He's a conceptual artist, and the way he made work was that he wrote instructions for drawings, and then he had his assistants follow the instructions and create the drawings on gallery and museum walls. Mm-hmm. You guys should look him up. Sol LeWitt. Really, really interesting kind of precursor to generative art in a way as well. But, like, you know, what if we asked Boddo to create similar, like, sorts of artistic prompts for us to all follow and then maybe do something with the resulting work that comes out of that? Yoko Ono as well, as Robin points out, yeah.
That's a very cool initiative.
It would kind of turn the human AI creative relationship, it would kind of invert it in a way, you know? And so,
yeah, definitely.
In terms of, like, finding ways for Boddo's work to be kind of more conceptually rigorous or kind of fit more snugly within, like, certain art historical traditions, I feel like that could be a fun idea to explore.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's incredible. Like, that inversion is an incredibly interesting thing that I just think has never been flagged across the DAO ever, I think, in the past 3 years. So, that's that's a very cool idea, Greg. I'm just trying to make sure we've covered everything in the town hall chat. Crypto Climber Unlimited mentioned, you know, lack of criticism is rampant amount among the crypto art world, and meaningful criticism is critical. Yeah, I think a lot of us agree with that statement. I think Robin echoes that sentiment as well. I got one heart for my analog voting book idea. Don't know who that is, but thank you very much, Robin. Thank you. We're 48 minutes in. I think there's a lot for us to talk about still. I think we will run out of time. Let me check what is next on the agenda. Very quickly, so incentivization with Bit58. Bit58 is just entirely unannounced. That, you know, nobody will know what Bit58 is, but the TLDR is, and it's related to the comms flows and adjusting for governance. Encouraging governance participation at the proposal creation level, and something that we just haven't had up until this point is rewarding governors who pass successful proposals, and that's really what Bit58 is about. I will start a thread in the ideas. I think it's something worth us talking about and exploring. Just to slap on a little incentive for the proposal creation aspect and kind of like refining ideas, because I think that will progressively become more and more important. It already is very important. So just flagging it, you know, it's a discussion point we should pick up on as soon as possible. And then we have Boddo's autonomy with Bit55. That's art engine upgrade related. I would recommend, because I think there's generally consensus in having more freedom to perform art engine upgrades, as opposed to, I think we had a standardized format where DAO members would have to come in and propose art engine upgrades, the smaller ones. That would no longer have to be the case, and basically Quasimondo, Boddo's guardian, will be able to come in and make small iterative improvements to Boddo. I don't think I've framed the BIP perfectly, just out of memory. But I am going to flag it in the town hall chat. It is also available as a thread on the BIP discussion section on Discord, and it's called Improving Speed of Art Engine Upgrade. So I definitely would recommend hopping in and checking it out. Here's the forum link, and here is the post link, just so that everybody can read along. And then I think we have another proposal in the works, which is more governance, economy, and treasury related. And we have one of the DAO members, Sync, up on stage. Sync, hey, are you there?
Hey, Shubi, yeah, do you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Welcome. I'm wondering if you can give a bit of a rundown on you know what you've been cooking and what you've been looking at when it comes to protocol and liquidity, because I know that you're a staunch supporter of protocol and liquidity and building up POL. I wonder whether you have some updates kind of in terms of ideas to flesh out, and I know that you've been working on a proposal. Maybe you can run us through a short condensed version of the proposal.
Sure. Yeah. I'm actually working on two proposals now. The first proposal is to increase protocol and liquidity through a periodic commitment of a portion of Brado Project's revenue towards such a objective. So, right now, as everybody's aware, after Super Rare's 15% auction fee, the net revenue split every week goes 50% to active participants that are voters training Brado, and 50% goes to the treasury. This proposal is going to suggest that we decrease those allocations for both active voters and the treasury to 40% each, which would mean that 20% would then be able to be allocated to increasing protocol and liquidity. And that ETH, that 20% of revenue in ETH, would be paired with the corresponding amount of Brado from the treasury's holdings. In fact, if you all may recall, BIP42, which passed several months ago, allocated up to 4 million Brado for improving liquidity in general. And so this Brado that would be paired with that 20% of ETH would be coming from that 4 million Brado that was allocated in BIP42. So that's the first proposal that I'm working on. The second proposal, which I feel is synergistic to it, but I'm separating it for the purpose of having a separate discussion and giving people an opportunity to separately consider this idea. The idea is to essentially incorporate liquidity as a public good in Brado's economy. And this would be through a two-bucket approach to protocol and liquidity. So right now, Brado DAO's protocol and liquidity accounts for about 28.5% of all the liquidity for Brado on the Brado plus ETH pool on Uniswap V2. So this two-bucket approach model would essentially propose that over the course of a certain period of time, that hasn't yet been ironed out, but let's say 2 years, the DAO would agree to gradually make a portion of that liquidity permanent. So we would have two buckets. The first bucket would be what we would call DAO-directed protocol and liquidity, which is what we have now, which means the DAO has agency over that liquidity. The DAO, for example, could vote to allocate a portion of that liquidity to seeding a pool on Base if the Base integration moves forward, for example. So the DAO-directed protocol and liquidity is what we have agency over. The separate bucket, which I call permanent protocol and liquidity, is something that we would no longer have agency over. The DAO would burn that liquidity by sending the corresponding LP tokens to the zero address on Ethereum. And essentially, this would foster this idea that actually predates even Bitcoin. This was actually discussed in a paper by the Reserve Bank of Australia during the financial crisis in 2008, the idea of liquidity as a public good. And I feel like Bado could really, I guess, elevate itself in terms of the discussion within the DeFi crypto community at large, as far as how it approaches its tokenomics if it embraces this idea. And so, to be clear, we did have a burn mechanism in the past, you all may recall. We would simply burn a corresponding amount of the tokens in Bado's treasury, the Bado tokens, corresponding to ETH that the treasury would be allocated, but that has since been negated. Now, what happens in that situation is those tokens are no longer accessible ever, right? They're completely removed from circulation, whereas this proposal would not burn the underlying tokens that represent the liquidity in the LP tokens. The LP tokens would be burned, but the ETH and the BATO would always be accessible on chain. So it would not remove those tokens from circulation. It would keep them in circulation, and it would allow for people to freely trade in and out of the BATO economy. So that's in summary, the two proposals that I'm working on. They're not finalized yet. I'm still tweaking some things, so I don't hold me to these terms that I just stated. But in general, this is what it's kind of the theme of it all at this juncture. And hopefully, in the next week or two, we'll be able to move forward on this. And I also want to give a shout out to Bit56 because Bit56, which is going to be coming up for voting soon, encourage everybody to look at that discussion. These proposals are actually synergistic with that. The idea with Bit56 is to ramp up Bado's public relations to the world outside of crypto, but also to the crypto native world through the marketing hire that's going to be joining the core team, I believe, in August, if I recall correctly from that BIP. And that, the idea here is we want to create more, visibility for Bado in an organic way that also builds on some of the principles that are already underlying Bado projects. So the idea, for example, permanent protocol and liquidity, it builds on liquidity as a public good. It builds on this idea that is already inherent to Bado, which is the no human interference rule. It extends that notion to the liquidity management strategy. So hopefully this would help raise the visibility with the crypto native community and hopefully draw in more users, which is ultimately the goal of all this, to increase the usage of Bado, decentralize and distribute the training feedback inputs, and hopefully grow the community. So that's where it's at. I think I covered it, Chuby. If there's anything,
yeah, else. Definitely. No, you covered it substantially. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I think zooming out for a sec, the whole notion of protocol and liquidity. Generally speaking, you want liquid markets for Bado participants to freely enter and exit the space, right? I think that's one kind of taken for granted assumption here. I think. And maybe maybe you flagged this and I'm just simply paraphrasing you here, Sync. I think there are a number of benefits to us as a DAO building protocol and liquidity in general, and we have gone through past endeavors as a DAO with partnerships with the likes of Olympus DAO to build up a substantial amount of our existing protocol and liquidity, and this happened in late 2021, early 2022, when Olympus DAO was still around. But the idea behind it really is, to a degree, building an element of sustainability, because there's a reduction of relying on external parties and or third parties to the DAO. Liquidity miners currently are providing a service. Nothing wrong with that, just to flag. There's nothing wrong with that, but it is a service. The DAO would essentially be servicing itself and its key stakeholders in and through provision of protocol and liquidity. And I think another thing to flag, which is kind of highly relevant to Sync's two proposals is substantial product owner liquidity is akin to market confidence, right? That enter/exit freely aspect that I've just flagged becomes more important. There are also smaller, I think, more nominal arguments to be made when it comes to product owner liquidity and us as a DAO endeavoring to build it, right? One being fees, I think, two maybe governance in the form of there's more incentive aligned actors participating in governance. And then I think finally, we did mention that liquidity mining is ending in November 2025 because there was a recent extension that passed through another bit, which I forget the number, but it did pass, which means liquidity mining ends in 2025. So I think these are measured proposals to put in place now and to try put into action sooner rather than later, so that we are, as a DAO, making a concerted effort to build a product on liquidity. I think that's the kind of like additive kind of rationale. I think that's kind of baked into Sync's two proposals. I do think it's an incredibly important discussion, you know, from a treasury/bottle economy perspective. So just flagging it, I think let's wait and see for Sync to publish these proposals, but very much looking forward to it.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this. And yeah, final point, it's all about also just fostering progressive decentralization through facilitating more of the BOTO tokens that are sitting in the treasury wallet, facilitating their release into circulation, which would hopefully then enable, to your point, more users to participate, enter and exit the project more freely. So that's what this is ultimately all about. So thank you.
Cool, appreciate it. I think that wraps up this town hall, folks. I think we're all very appreciative that for everyone who's hopped in, and really like these types of town hall formats. We will be doing more of them. Just to flag to everybody that the next town hall in 2 weeks will likely be on Twitter Spaces. I need to confirm this with Simon and Greg and the likes. But we will likely move one of the two town halls that occur on a monthly basis onto Twitter Spaces just to be a little more, you know, external facing. I think a lot of topical points about the art space and crypto art space and AI art and trad art, right, were raised in this town hall, which is incredibly interesting. And surfacing these types of conversations and the public arena, I think, is a good thing, and it's very additive to BOTO and us as a DAO. So just flagging that, look forward to seeing everyone. We'll confirm that in the announcements channel very shortly. But otherwise, thank you so much for everybody who's hopped in, who's participated in the town hall chat, everybody who hopped on stage and shared their thoughts, and we'll catch you for the next one. Thank you very much.